What's up, ODs and eyewear lovers? We're talking the latest trends in tech and eye care, so sit back, relax, and defocus.
Well, hello, Defocus Media Podcast listeners. Better way to start 2019 than by talking about some of the biggest things that happened in 2018 in eye care. And Daryl, when you think of like who's the most in-the-know doctor of optometry in your social circles, who comes to mind?
Jen, you know there's only one person, the only amazing Dr. Jackie Garlick.
Oh, you guys are so nice.
Dr. Garlick of 2020 Glance fame, of course, and it's always so much fun. I feel like it's a tradition now. Like, we've been doing podcasts for long enough. It's a tradition that we are going to close out a year and start a new year with you every single time.
I was trying to think, like, did we do this in 2016 too? I can't remember. We for sure did it last year, but
I know this is your third podcast with us, so, and we've been only around for 3 years, so you
really at the same time. Yeah, okay, good.
Well, obviously you've been super busy with work, with running 2020 Glance, with staying up to date with your life as a mom and an optometrist too. Anything going on in your personal life that you want to catch listeners up on?
Oh, well, okay, sure. Yeah. So I recently moved to Boston. So that was probably like 3 months ago. So I've kind of switched modes of practice. I was like previously in an OD MD group, and now I'm in a single, like a private practice, just only ODs. So it's like been totally different from what I was in before, but it's been great. It's, I really like it. It's like nice to change things up a bit.
Wow, that's great. I mean, you oftentimes don't think like, oh, OD MD versus a group OD practice, like how different would that be? But when I think about it, I was like, actually, it's probably a totally different way of doing things. And I bet a lot of people are kind of looking to you since you were working with MDs so much more closely, like as some sort of expert on ocular disease, right?
Well, yeah, like I saw a lot more disease. I just saw a ton of stuff there, but they're like totally different. And the other thing is that the place that I'm at, like I'm in downtown Boston in the financial district. So it's like all healthy, young, you know, people. So there's not a ton of disease there. So I came from all this disease and like scleral lenses and corneal transplants and like, you know, retinal stuff. And then now I'm like, oh, okay, everybody's like healthy. So lovely.
So tell me this, did the ophthalmologists and optometrists that you worked with in the past, did they go to you for all their news updates and all the resources? Because I mean, you pretty much know everything that's coming out probably ahead of time before they know.
I mean, I did. So I did actually, I was just talking with one of the ophthalmologists I worked for before, and he's like, oh, I started following you. Like, on this, you know, this. And I was like, yes, I am. Like, I told you about this. What's wrong with you? So, I mean, they do read it and ask, and it's really nice. It's, you know, it's, I'm glad people find it useful. I'll just say that. So,
Jackie, you've been so in the know on like medical knowledge and studies and research and new FDA approvals. I'm going to call it this one thing. I got a message from you like a couple months ago right when you made the transition, and you were like, tell me about these like anti-fatigue lenses. And I was like, oh my gosh, welcome to the healthy world. It's a totally different type of practice for you.
So different. I was like, what is an Eyezen lens? I have like, I'm like, Jen, please help me. What is this? Like, I don't know what this is. So yeah, it was totally different. This is, you're like always my go-to person. Like, hey, what do I do? What does this mean? Like, tell me more about blue light stuff. What's an Eyezen lens? I've really never had those conversations in my old practice. So it was new for me. It's good. It's like learning new things. It's great.
I thought it was just so funny. I was like, there's one thing that I know about that Jackie doesn't know about. So it was a small victory that day. But we're about to turn it on its head because you're about to show us all the stuff that Daryl and I do not know. And I'm afraid we're going to get really embarrassed this year, Daryl, because there's been a lot going on in optometry in 2018. And it would have been hard to stay up to date.
Yeah, I'm trying to recall who won last year, Jen. Was it you or I? Who had the better score when Jackie was testing us? Do you recall?
Jen,
there's
for sure.
No way that I lost.
I was like, is this a real question? Definitely.
I'm always used to winning. I didn't recall losing, but man, I guess I got to do better this year.
Okay, so here's the plan for this year. I was thinking we'd focus on the FDA approvals because there were 13 in 2018. And like, not all of them really apply, I think, to us, to most of us. Like, there was like an artificial iris that was approved, and like, I'm not dealing with those patients. So, like, I'm trying to focus on the ones that are like really clinically relevant to us. So I've got 5 questions, and I have one bonus question if Daryl's behind, which probably
will be. He's probably been studying to prepare. Just kidding.
And this is not really so fair for you guys, because I did not tell you that I was going to just focus on the FDA approval. So you guys probably did all this work of looking at all these cool studies that I talked about, and I'm going to be like, we're not even talking about those. Gotcha. We're going to do just FDA approvals.
Let's do it. Let's make it happen.
All right. Question one. We now have 3 prescription dry eye medications we can prescribe. Name the new dry eye medication approved in August of this year.
Ding, ding. For Jen.
Oh, Jen. Yeah.
It's called, I might mispronounce this, Cequa, C-E-Q-U-A.
That's it. Very good, Jen. Daryl, did you know that?
Yeah, I'm familiar with Cequa. I know that's that the new Restasis, they're doubling up the strength. And I didn't know when it was FDA, when it was released, but FDA approved, but familiar with the medication.
Yeah. Okay, so that's right. So what do we know about Cequa? It is Cequa. So that is cyclosporin 0.09%. And this is different from Restasis, because Restasis is 0.05%. So Cequa is a stronger concentration. And then the other reason that it's different from Restasis is the vehicle in which the cyclosporin is delivered. So Cequa's vehicle is this nanomicellular formulation, which according to the company allows for better penetration through the aqueous layer. So, okay. So then the other thing that people usually want to know is like, is this going to work faster than Restasis? That's like, was the big question with Xiidra, like, is it quicker? And according to the company, yes, there were improvements in ocular staining assessments as early as 1 month after initiating treatment.
Sweet.
But yeah. So this could be good. I mean, this is the same dosing BID. It's packaged in these single-use preservative-free vials. They have the side effects or the, you know, pain on installation, which was like 22% of people. But we can't prescribe it yet. Like, it's still in production. So we'll hear more about that in like 2019.
Right now, on just personal question, I like to, on dry eye prescribing at your offices, are you Restasis prescribers, Xiidra prescribers, none of the above? Like, what are you guys doing right now?
I'm majority Xiidra. I think I might be one of the highest Xiidra prescribers in the Triangle area, Jen, speaking to some of the reps that we have in the area. I use Restasis, but not as much as in the past, but I love Xiidra. And I also talk to my patients a lot about just environmental factors, you know, ceiling fans, vents, blinking more. I think there are a lot of environmental things that we need to look out for. And I've noticed that giving those patients that education and them coming back a year later or for that dry eye follow-up, they notice a difference in regards to just what's surrounding them. And then lastly, makeup, you know, just telling ladies to monitor where they're applying that makeup, especially on that waterline, that lid margin area. That's made a world of difference of just giving education more than anything. But Xiidra is definitely my go-to.
Yeah, I feel like I've changed. I started using Xiidra a lot more, mostly because it was going to, you know, be a noticeable improvement sooner than what it was with Restasis. And it was newer. I wanted to really try it out. But I'm finding it a lot, like in my office now, a lot of people are not into the idea of being on any medications. Like, they don't want anything. So that's more about like managing, you know, everything Daryl just went over, really.
Oh, that's so true. I run into that all the time. No one wants to be on prescription medication, right? And then I've gotten I'm so careful now when I talk about the BID dosing and using it, because many people are like, oh, well, it sounds addictive if I have to keep using it and I can't stop. And I was like, yeah, no, that's, don't look at it that way. Because it's like any medication, when you stop using it, it won't work anymore. So it kind of like changed the way I talk about that. But yeah, I've had great success with Xiidra in my office too. And I've just, you know, I'm excited to get something new because it's not a 100% success rate. I still have patients that really their symptoms aren't under good control. So it'd be nice to have something added to the arsenal if this can compete with that faster onset of action. Just having something that makes people feel better within a month to 6 weeks is so much better than what we were dealing with before.
Yeah. And I mean, I remember, I think the study stated that it'll show an improvement with symptoms within 2 weeks. And I pretty much tell my patients that, and majority of them that come back within that month or 3 week span, they're extremely excited. They've noticed a difference and it's been extremely successful. And you know, having that rebate as well, where where it's free the first month and $10 each additional month afterwards makes a world of difference as well. But, you know, we're giving Zydra too much shine right now. We're going to have to bring them on a podcast and dig a little deeper there.
All right. So I've got another question. Here's question two. All right. Your patient states they are taking the newly approved drop called Inveltis. What is this drop?
Yeah, I'm going to give you a chance to ring in if you want to. I don't want to
Inveltis. I remember this one. This was it a steroid? It was a steroid of some sort.
Yeah.
And it was something that was different about it.
I know. It's Loteprednol.
That's what it was. It is. It's Loteprednol and it's double the dose of what it normally is, right?
Yes, it is. God, I'm really impressed with you guys. Yes, it's Inveltis is Loteprednol. So it's 1%. And so it's Lotemax is 0.5%. So it's just a stronger concentration. And then the other thing about this medication is that it's dosed BID instead of QID. So that's really it's got approval for the treatment of post-op inflammation and pain following ocular surgery. So this was in their trials, it was like 700 roughly in their trials. And that was all for like after cataract surgery was when they were trialing it. So that's Inveltis. Yes.
Yeah. It seems like a lot of these are just basically doubling up the dosage and saying, hey, we got something new. Let's put it on the market and make a lot of money.
Well, so this is going to lead me into question three with this. Okay. But Jen, I'll let you were going to say something.
Well, I kind of just a tag on this one. I mean, how many of you guys as cataract surgeons are prescribing a name brand medication for post-op care? I mean, these are Medicare patients that are typically getting cataract surgery in my area. And so Daryl, kind of your area, our patients are coming back and they're on PrEP. And I don't think that it's going to be a while before we see great Medicare coverage on a name brand medication, unless they do some sort of crazy negotiation.
Yeah,
I agree.
I agree. Yeah. So the other thing, and I'll talk about this after I ask you this next question here, because I think it kind of ties in. But all right. So question three is, what is the name of the new FDA approved dexamethasone intracanalicular insert?
Dextenza. I remember that one.
Wow. Yes, that was Dextenza. Good. I didn't remember that.
All right. So Dextenza was like literally just recently approved. So this is a dexamethasone insert placed through the punctum into the canaliculus and delivers dexamethasone to the ocular surface for up to 30 days. So it resorbs after treatment. It doesn't have to be removed. And again, this is another one that's for the treatment. It was approved for the treatment of post-op pain following ocular surgery. So you put it in. It's very similar to a punctal plug. I'm not sure if they're saying this, but it seems like this is something you would just do right after cataract surgery. Just place this right after you were done. I'm not sure if that's how they're doing this. But and then they, in this case too, they were also trialing it in the patients after cataract surgery. So my theory with this is that it seems like these medications that they're prescribing or that are coming out are less frequent dosing for probably two reasons. One, like for example, this one is no dosing. Like you take the patient out of the equation completely. So better patient compliance perhaps. And then two, less drops for like ocular surface disease issues. Like, so there's such an increase in, you know, prevalence of dry eye. I'm wondering if they're maybe coming out with these things like, oh, this is half the dosing. It helps with compliance. There's less toxicity to the cornea is my theory with this.
Yeah, I'm just worried about that pressure shooting up. I don't like anything just hanging around and releasing whenever it wants. You know, it makes me a little nervous. What about you ladies?
So on this study, the IOP increase was like a side effect of that, but it only happened in about 5% of patients.
What was the sample size? Do you recall?
That's a good question. I don't remember what that was.
I have had two patients do dropless cataract surgery where they, you know, inject everything at the time and then they don't have to do drops afterwards. And one of them, he did unfortunately have a pretty big pressure spike. And we dealt with a lot of corneal edema and chronic AC reaction. I actually ended up having to go back to the surgeon to get co-management because we couldn't get anything under control with adding topical drops to it. And that situation, even though I know that probably the majority of patients are having relatively good outcomes with that, just when I couldn't manage post-op inflammation topically on top of the dropless surgery and there was like no resources for us, that worried me a bit. So I've been kind of leaning away from recommending dropless procedures after that patient.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes me nervous and hearing that even more nervous. So I'm probably going to stay away from that.
Yeah, that was the newest one. That one actually, that was like its third submission to the FDA. Like it kept getting denied for like not issues with the drug you know, Dextenza itself, it was like related to the manufacturing process, but they third time was a charm. They got it. So. All right. So here's a question for another patient says they are taking Zelpros, the drop that was just FDA approved this year. What is that drop for? Zelpros, X-E-L-P-R-O-S.
Glaucoma.
Oh. It is for glaucoma. Very good. And this one is latanoprost, but it's preservative free. So this is another reason where I feel like people are really targeting, like thinking about ocular surface disease and like trying to take, I mean, there is no preservative free latanoprost. So that's this one here. This is out of Sun Pharma, actually.
You know what? So I've been doing a lot of research into prostaglandins, ocular surface disease and stuff like that. And you know, what's so interesting to me is we've been blaming BAK for so long for the chronic dry eye and ocular surface disease we see in our glaucoma patients. And yes, I definitely think, I mean, clear documentation that BAK preservative causes SBK and a lot of issues. But the prostaglandin alone also causes a ton of meibomian gland dysfunction and issues. So I don't actually know how much when we switch to these preservative-free drops, like how big of a difference it's really making. Because I think the prostaglandin itself is an offender.
True, yeah.
So what are you doing for co-management for dry eyes when you're seeing these patients and meibomian gland dysfunction? What's your go-to treatment?
I mean, it's really hard. These patients typically need aggressive dry eye treatment. They're going to need something to help open their meibomian glands up. Again, like a LipiFlow treatment. They have a lot of lid hygiene issues, so we're getting them on lid cleansers. And then I typically am having to put them on something like a Restasis or a Xiidra as well, just to try to get flow going. But you can just look at their lid margins on patients that are on prostaglandins. It's all red, it's all fiery. Try to express those glands. There's nothing coming out. I mean, these poor eyelids really take a beating on prostaglandins.
Yeah. I mean, when you walk in a room, sometimes you could just see the patients, the eyelid margins are pretty flared up, especially in the winter months. And it's, I don't know about you, Jen, but lately I've been having a lot of patients come in, especially in the triangle with ocular rosacea. Have you been seeing that a lot lately? I mean, I've been getting at least a couple times a day, like three or four patients with that, and their lids have been flared up. I mean, just screaming at
you. You know, rosacea is super common, is what I'm coming to think of. And I always hate being that person that like diagnoses them with rosacea. And they're like, right. I don't have rosacea. And I'm like, well, look at your nose. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's super common. You know, during their flare up time, it's so much easier to see. And that is a hard patient to get under control. I've got some patients on almost basically year-round oral doxy. I've referred patients for IPL for this, but you know, insurances really aren't covering it, multiple treatments to get it treated. So they have to be extremely symptomatic from my experience to want to pay for an IPL, even though I think it probably works beautifully.
Yeah.
Now, what are you doing with the dermatologist? Are you co-managing, telling them to see a dermatologist? Do you have one that you refer to? I mean, what are you doing in regards to co-management?
You know, I do Cary dermatology here locally because I'm based in Cary, but a lot of times, I mean, for IPL treatment around the eye, I'm referring to a MD here locally that does dry eye and IPL treatment.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's one thing I actually haven't figured out if anyone is who is doing that in the Boston area. That's something I really probably need to look at.
Yeah. So, I mean, preservative-free, fabulous. Like, there's so much new glaucoma innovation I'm excited about. I would love some sort of long-term solution instead of just keep piling prostaglandins on with everything, because it's maybe not my ideal drop option health-wise for the ocular surface, even though obviously it is our first-line treatment because it's the best at bringing down eye pressure.
Yeah, good point. Okay, last question. You guys are doing, mostly Daryl is doing way better than what I thought.
Killing it.
You guys are haters. You know that? Y'all, pure haters.
Okay, so this one's easy because, well, okay, I'll say it first before I say it's easy. What contact lens did Transitions
team up with? Oh my gosh.
We both know that.
All right.
Yeah, let's say it together. ActiVu Oasys.
I'm gonna end with this, so we end on a good note. But you guys are like Mr. and Mrs. Transition, so I this information. Do you guys know this about this like before everyone else knew about it? Like, did you get any insider information?
I have to claim like NDA on that one.
Yeah. Okay. So, but have you seen? Like, I don't think it looks so weird. I was a little bit because you guys all saw like the internet like spoof of this, right? Which was super hilarious. So they like blacked out people's eyes. Did you guys see that video?
You know, I've heard about it, but I've never actually watched the video. It's something on YouTube I heard that's going viral.
Yeah, it's pretty hilarious. But I was like looking at the video of how it's like changing. It's actually, it looks like, I think it looks good. Like, I don't think it looks any, like it doesn't look too crazy.
Yeah, the video that Acubees put out on commercials they're running on Instagram, it's not bad at all. I thought it looked extremely flattering compared to what I was under the impression it may look like.
I was like envisioning something very different. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's it. You guys did great. There were also some new contact lenses approved this year. Do you guys have any idea? This was going to be my bonus question in case you guys were not doing well. But
I know there was that multifocal prism lens that was coming out.
Wait, can we just say, what's your level of excitement about that lens?
I'm actually very excited about it. You know, we've had that Proclear multifocal toric. I'm not a big, you know, scleral lens fitter or RGP lens fitter like Jennifer. Soft contact lens is definitely my bread and butter. I love those contacts. And to be able to have something that's going to accommodate that astigmatism and the multifocal component, I'm excited about it. I think they're going to give Proclear multifocal toric a run for their money. I'm truly excited about it and I can't wait to
yeah,
get it.
I'm kind of excited. I really do want to try it out just because Bausch & Lomb is like, I feel like their optics are always really good in their lenses. And I mm-hmm. feel very like 50-50 on the Proclear toric multifocal. I'd always be like, okay, well,
I feel like 50-50 is generous. I love, I prescribe a ton of Cooper products. So, but I pretend like Proclear multifocal toric doesn't exist. And if I have a toric patient that says, I want a multifocal, I'm like, okay, synergize.
I mean, that's honestly probably your better, more successful.
It's not successful optically. I gave it plenty of tries and it's not going to get a multifocal level of vision that our patient can expect. So I would say I'm cautiously optimistic. I will definitely try it. I love the ultra multifocal. I think it is excellent. Like the optics are really top of the line. So if I can get that kind of performance and with the astigmatism, I'm going to prescribe this thing like nuts.
Yeah.
Jen, you know, I've heard a lot of folks talking about this ultra multifocal. I'm still, you know, a heavy hitter when it comes to the Biofinity multifocal and also the AirOptics Aqua multifocal. What is it about that ultra that's really changing the game in your eyes besides just the optics? I mean, is it the comfort, the fit? I mean, the feel? I mean, what's going on?
I mean, it is a comfortable lens, but the ease of prescribing it as the doctor, I think that's really what's made a difference, why it's moved into my number one place for a multifocal. It only comes in two ads, high, low, okay? And there's a clear cutoff. 150 ad and above is a high. If you're under 150 ad, you're two lows. You know what I mean? So there's no decision making, and you grab their prescription and you put it on the patient's eye, and the patient, they will see 20/20 distance and 20/20 at near. Sometimes every now and again, I'll have to make a quarter tweak on something at a follow-up visit, but it is a reliable, good quality vision.
Interesting. I'm going to have to use that top of the year to see how well it is, because everybody's been speaking highly of it, especially some of the new grads that I've been practicing with. They've been saying that they really love that lens quite a bit.
I haven't used it a ton. My like go-to multifocal was AirOptics multifocal. I like really loved that lens. I just felt like it worked really good for me. But now I'm in a practice that's like 95% dailies. So I'm not really going to be like, let's put you into a monthly when someone's like coming from a daily. So I feel like,
well, you already have that fit guide down. You just throw them into dailies total one multifocal and the practice is going to love you.
I could be doing that. Right? That's true. okay. So the other new contact lenses that were approved this year, MyDay toric was like the very first contact lens approved in 2018. That was in January. There's the ultra multifocal we talked about. There's Miru. Do you guys use this lens? Miru monthly? They have a daily.
I do not.
Is that the one that comes in like the blister packs or something like that?
Yes. Their packaging is super adorable and Japanese looking. Yeah. I feel like that's the only claim to fame about it, where I'm not like, oh, the optics, I have to have this lens, right?
Yeah, I know. It like the packaging is really, that's like literally all I know about that lens, but they now came out with the monthly. So that's the other thing. And then there was Transitions, and then AirOptics added some colors to their color line. And that was it.
Oh yeah. Daryl, what colors did they add?
Oh no, I don't wear color contacts. I hate color contacts. I don't like color contacts. I really don't fit them that much. But if a patient wants it, I'm going to give it to them because it is a cosmetic thing. And I'm trying to get more cosmetic wise when it comes to practicing and seeing patients. But I'm not a color fan at all. You're asking the wrong one, Jen.
All right. They're gemstone colors sort of thing. So you got your like your amethyst and those kind of colors. Because like when they came out first with AeroPtix colors, they were missing a lot of the fresh look colors that my patients actually liked. Do you know everyone wanted violet? That was probably like the biggest color on fresh look colors that I had people asking for. And then the AeroPtix colors didn't make anything purple. So now they have the amethyst purple ones.
I wish they would drop a daily. I mean, they don't have a daily in colors anymore, right? That's done with.
They do fresh look one day. Comes in like brown, blue.
Is that still alive? Green. I thought they killed that.
They killed that too. Maybe.
Oh, really? It shows how much I've been prescribing it.
No, but they had Define. AccuView had Define, which I think they're discontinuing some of those colors maybe. But those were not a true color. That was just like the little enhancement, you know.
Yeah.
Very beautiful, but like.
But I do like that the lens that they have for the color, the AeroPtix Aqua, I mean, it's a breathable lens, a silicone hydrogel. It's a better material than that older fresh look contact lens that they had back in the day. So I'm happy about
that. I will say that I had a fresh look patient the other day and the lens actually fit nice on this patient. I feel like when I usually see a fresh look fit, it's the lens is like all over the cornea. Like it's never really staying where it should. I'm always like, this lens is terrible. We have to get you out of it.
Yeah, it is tough, man. And price wise, those lenses are not inexpensive. With time, Alcon's really increased the costs on a fresh look color blends. I'm sure trying to help to promote AeroPtix colors and better. And so, oh my gosh, the sticker shock on some of these, like I've worn Fresh Look for the past 15 years and now it's $80-some a box. It's been a tough market for them.
I feel like they're going to discontinue that. I mean, right? Like why bring all these colors into the AeroPtix line?
Well, I think they are discontinued. I think it's just a lot that's still floating around.
They have not discontinued the Fresh Look color blends or Fresh Look dimensions. The only thing that they discontinued was the version where it doesn't have the ring. It was just all one color. So, and they had like ocean, like blue and ocean blue. So I had a few people that wore that version of the Fresh Look, but they don't have that anymore. But they haven't announced plans to discontinue Fresh Look color blends or Fresh Look colors or Fresh Look dimensions.
Well, I guess I've been lying to all my patients. My bad. Sorry, Alcon.
You guys did great. Way to go. 100%, I feel like, for both of you. Excellent work on this
quiz. Yay, Team Defocus.
Thanks, Jackie. Absolutely. Hey, but Jackie, what was your favorite article that you wrote this year? I mean, you had a lot of great articles. I mean, I know my personal favorite was the one guy that he used Viagra or something like that.
I was about to say, I know that you're talking about the Viagra story.
That was a good one.
That was hilarious. I mean, it was bad for the guy, but I'm just saying, you know, it was a good one.
I will say one that kind of like made me change my behavior was the study about meditation and glaucoma. Do you guys remember that one?
Yeah, I remember seeing that. If you meditate, then the pressure drops. It was actually a few points. Was it like 3 or 4, I think I read in the past?
Like a noticeable improvement in pressure. And I was like, oh man, I really need to download a meditation app. Not that I have glaucoma, but I was like, that's got to be healthy. I'm definitely downloading Headspace. So I definitely downloaded a meditation app right after that.
Do you think that guy is still seeing red tinted vision, like even right now?
I don't know. We need a follow up, man. Someone needs to figure that out because I mean, that blew my mind when I saw that one.
I'm going to do some investigative journalism on that for you, Daryl.
Ah, sweet. What about yours, Jen? What was your favorite article of the year?
Oh, man. I know. I was like that. Well, obviously that Viagra one really did stand out. So if we ever have a patient come in that says they're seeing everything tinted red, I'll know exactly what's wrong with them immediately. So, yeah, I mean, this is standing up for a bad reason. I don't want to take this on a dour note, but what's really stuck with me is that recent, the reporter who committed suicide after LASIK. And that it's really kind of affected how I've been talking about LASIK and the post-op period and explaining how important it is for, you know, these post-op visits. Because I mean, the overwhelming majority of time at my LASIK post-op visits, people are like doing great, seeing fine. It's kind of like check, check, check that we're here, but they I don't know how much value they see in those services. And now I'm really talking up the importance of those visits before I refer them to the surgeon for LASIK, and how I want you to really be in touch with me. If you're in pain, if you're in discomfort, I want you to call me. We're here to help you. I know the percentages of this happening are so low, but you guys wouldn't, I mean, with doing specialty lenses, I have so many people that had RK or botched procedures from older refractive surgeries that are miserable, like went through years of depression and still battle with coming to the eye doctor, even though like we've done contact lenses for them that have kind of restored a lot of their happiness with their vision. It is a lifelong potential depression if something goes wrong with vision. And it's just made me very aware of these conversations that we should be having, not to scare people out of refractive surgery, but just to make sure they know they have a support system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were like two of those cases, like right back to back. Like I remember like we were about it 1 week, and then the next week there was another one. And I was like, oh my God, I feel like I've never heard of this until just recently, like this being a thing. But yeah, it's a good point.
So great job bringing us the news, whether it's hilarious news or news to that kind of like strikes the heart, because we need to be more compassionate and aware of our patients. But, you know, each week I can always count on being informed thanks to you. So we appreciate all the work you're doing, Jackie.
Yeah. Yeah.
So why don't we wrap things up with an exciting reveal? You know, we've talked about how we consider you such a big part of our family with what we're doing here at Defocus. And it's kind of official now, because you're doing all this great work on 2020 Glance, and now all the back issues of the 2020 Glance emails have a permanent home. You can always find them on the defocusmedia.com website, and we're so happy to host those for you.
I am like so happy to be hosting on your site here. Daryl did so much work with helping me kind of put all of those on there. So they're like all cataloged. I've been writing Glance like emails for over 2 years. So there's a ton of information on the website, whether you want to find out more about myopia control research or whatever. There's FDA approvals, whatever. It's all cataloged in the Defocus Media website now. So yeah, I'm super excited that they've got a home there.
Yeah, I'm super excited as well. And if you haven't, you know, checked out or subscribed to 2020 Glance, you definitely need to. I mean, as Jackie had mentioned, we've been working together on getting this stuff on the website. But let me tell you, Jackie, you do a phenomenal job of finding the information out there and just putting it out there. I mean, it's easy to read. It's up to date. It's great information. I mean, you are truly that one-stop source for everything eye care related when it comes to news. So I take my hat off to everything that you do. Keep doing the great work. And we're glad that we are a family now on Defocus Media 2020 Glance. And I look forward to 2019 with all the great news you're going to bring us.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm excited as well. You guys we're a great team together here.
Okay, it's a wrap. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to hang out with Defocus Media. We hope something resonated with you today. Please subscribe to our podcast, and remember, we keep it 2020 around here, pun intended. We look forward to seeing you next time.